This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I am rejoicing at the beautiful weekend we've had here in Nashville. Hope you had a chance to enjoy the beauty of God's creation this weekend. And I'm so glad to be with you in this time of worship, whether you're joining us over live stream or here in the sanctuary. I'd like to invite everybody to take a moment and register your attendance. There's several ways to do that. If you're worshiping online, there's a link there you can place in your browser and register that way. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row, and if you would pass those down and sign in, or if you're really high-tech, there is a QR code in the bulletin on the next to the last page that will take you to the links to register your attendance, to give online, to RSVP for Wednesday night supper, all sorts of things, so we invite you to do that as well. We are so glad that you're here, especially if this is your first time. We hope that you feel welcomed and that you feel the Spirit of Christ moving in and through this place. A few announcements as we gather. If you are a student, graduate student, or undergraduate student at one of our local Nashville universities, you're welcome to join a group for lunch after worship today. Chat and Chew, it's called, and the group will gather in the back there, what we call the narthex, and choose a place nearby to go, and it's on the church. So we hope you'll join us for that luncheon. At 4 o'clock today, we have a gathering up in the fourth story theater, which will also be live streamed. I've gotten lots of questions about that. And it is a panel discussion with several of us pastors in the United Methodist Church here in this area, hosted by a group called Mainstream UMC. And it's an information session and a conversation about the upcoming general conference of our church, our hopes and dreams for what might happen there, and how we are moving forward as congregations. So it'll be very informative and very helpful as we begin to pray and prepare for general conference. So I hope you'll join us either online or in person. And finally, this Wednesday night is our first Wednesday supper, so we hope you'll RSVP for dinner and join us there. The conversation after dinner will be about discovering our spiritual gifts. And in this season of Epiphany, as we've talked about being invited to follow Christ, this is a great way to figure out ways that you can serve God in the world, and we hope you'll join us for that. This morning, we are following in the footsteps of Jesus in the first chapter of Mark. We see him going about his ministry and then pulling away for some time of prayer and renewal. So let us also pull away into this moment of worship, center ourselves in this time that we might worship God with full hearts.
Here, O God, spread forward thy praise. Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Praise the Lord, because it is good to sing praise to our God, because this is a pleasure to make beautiful praise. The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem, gathering up Israel's exiles. God heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. God counts the stars by number, giving each one a name. The Lord helps the poor and gives food to all animals in need. Sing to the Lord with thanks. Sing praises to our God with one voice. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us confess our sins before God and one another with the confidence of God's beloved children. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray, and free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now we offer to you, O God, our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us now exchange signs of Christ's peace. The Lord be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of God for the people of God.
A moment with the children. So if you're here in the sanctuary and you want to come join me up here, you can, these rails are closed because of communion, so you have to go this way. Can you go this way and come up that opening there? Yeah, good job. And if you're worshiping at home, just get a little closer to your screens and we'll share a moment together. Come on up, everybody. Hey, Dax. Good to see you, buddy. Hi, Laura. Welcome, welcome. So glad to, oh, they're coming from both sides. This is awesome. Grace, if you got your name tag on, you're smart. You set a good example for all of us to wear our name tags if we've got them. I'm so glad to see all of you. You know, one of the really important things for us to do as followers of Jesus is to pray a lot. And so we pray sometimes when we sit down to eat dinner. And we'll put our hands together and we'll thank God for the food and for the time together. Sometimes we pray before we go to bed at night. Maybe one of your parents or a sibling or somebody comes in and you say a prayer before you go to sleep. But there are all different times and all different ways that we can pray. And we can always talk to God, even while we're doing something. I want to tell you about one of my favorite ways to pray. I like to go to a quiet place and close my eyes and put my hand on my heart and say, "I love you, God. Thank you for loving me." We just heard a story about Jesus going away by himself. He'd been really busy all day long. He'd been doing things for people all day long. And he was probably a little bit tired, but he went away by himself so he could say, "I love you, God. Thank you for loving me." And I think we need to do that too. So will you do that with me right now? Not just you, but everybody here. The grown-ups, join us in this. Put your hand over your heart. Close your eyes. And let's breathe in and out. And say after me, "I love you, God. Thank you for loving me." Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Will. And you can go back to your seats if you're older or younger than that. Okay, great. Tell me, Benny, what did you want? A friend of mine not too long ago told me about a cartoon that he had seen. It was a one-frame cartoon, and it was a drawing of two clergymen from like the 1800s, 1700s, looking a little bit like John and Charles Wesley, perhaps. And one of the clergymen says, "I work 7 days a week because, you know, the devil never sleeps." To which the other clergyman said, "I think you need another role model." It's a really good joke, if it weren't so true. It's true, isn't it? There is at loose in our culture a spirit, a voice, a current that wants to tell us that we're supposed to be working all the time. We're supposed to be productive, efficient, meeting the needs that come before us at all times. We must always be available to those who need us or want us or ask for our attention. Am I the only one who feels this way? Yeah. This message that you're only as good as what you produce and how hard you work. And it's made worse in our day. I mean, it was bad in the 1800s, but it's made worse in our day. We all have these little devices, you know? Mine's up in my office. I do not bring it to worship. But it's this little box, you know? And if you had told someone 100 years ago about this, they would have thought, that's a crazy idea. We have a box. And each one of us has our own special number. And at any time, anyone could dial that number and make us go zzz, or make our wrist light up and go zzz, and ask for our attention. Text message. Phone ringing, email, Facebook update, notifications that want our attention all the time. And I don't know about you, but I have this guilt response. If someone texts me or reaches out to me, I feel like I need to respond or else they're going to think I'm sitting on my couch eating ice cream and watching The Golden Bachelor all day long. They're going to think I'm lazy. I got to respond. I got to respond to all the needs. It's a very real pressure and presence in our lives all the time. But I have good news today, my friends, because we have a different role model. We see Jesus this morning, toward the end of the first chapter of Mark, making himself unavailable. Now, he's been busy. Since the first opening of chapter 1, he has been baptized, he's been tempted in the wilderness, he's called his first disciples, he's gone to the synagogue in Capernaum to preach, he's cast out demons, he's healed Peter's mother-in-law, and then we find out the whole city of Capernaum was gathered at the door of the house. And he spent hours responding to their needs, healing people, casting out demons, teaching, doing ministry, pouring out, pouring out. Finally, it's bedtime and the town shuts down. I imagine Jesus got a little bit of sleep, but when it was still early in the morning, still dark, he withdraws. And he doesn't tell anybody where he's going. I don't think he left a note. He went to be by himself and to pray, far away from the demands and the requests for his attention. Now, I want to pause right there and say, my friends, if Jesus can do that, if Jesus needed to do that, how much more do you and I need to do that? If you need permission to be unavailable, this is it. In this text is an invitation for us from time to time, as best we can, to set down the demands and the asks, to turn off our phones or at least leave them in another room, to go to a quiet place and pray and be with God. I know there are seasons of life when this is especially challenging, but that's the invitation coming to us from this text. Now, we don't know what Jesus experienced in that time apart. We do know he did it a lot. It was a regular practice of Jesus. But Mark doesn't tell us what happened in those hours of prayer. One thing I imagine happened, and one reason I think Jesus must have done this so regularly, was because he needed to get away from all the voices in the crowd to hear the voice, with a capital V. That voice that had spoken at his baptism, the story we heard just a couple of weeks ago, that said to him, "You are my beloved child. In you I am well pleased." That voice that spoke before he preached his first sermon, before he healed anybody, before he checked off his to-do list. A voice of unconditional love just because Jesus is and God loves him. And I think that's one reason we need to pull away from time to time, to separate ourselves from what we're doing in order to rest in God's love and know that we're loved aside from that. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to set up this duality that we can only be with God, we can only be present to God if we're away by ourselves in quiet somewhere. God is interwoven in everything that we do. The love and light of Christ is within each one of us, and we can pray while we're changing diapers or doing surgery or whatever it is that our responsibilities are during the day. And yet there still is something vital in stepping back, withdrawing, and being unavailable to everybody else in order to be available to ourselves and to God. There's something else that must have happened in that time of prayer for Jesus. He got clarity. He got clear on his purpose and his mission. He may have had that clarity before, but it was re-clarified, or he was reminded of why he came. He's in prayer early in the morning, and his disciples have been hunting for him, and finally they find him. And they say, "Jesus, where have you been? Jesus, everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you." Does that voice sound familiar? You've got 120 emails waiting in your inbox. Your phone's been blowing up. All of these people are waiting on an answer for this. Everyone's looking for you. Somebody needs a peanut butter sandwich. And Jesus peacefully and calmly rises up and says, "No, I'm not going back to Capernaum." What? Jesus, you didn't heal everybody in Capernaum. There are still lots of people who are sick and need healing. There's still lots of needs there. Jesus could have gone back to Capernaum and just set up shop, just hung out his shingle and healed whoever came to his door, just responded to whatever needs popped up in Capernaum. He could have stayed there forever. But in his time of prayer and communion with God, he reified his priorities. And he knew that he was called to move on. And he told those disciples, "I'm not going back to Capernaum. We've got to go to the next town and the next town and the next village to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God is near. For that is what I came to do." So Jesus shows us that there are some things we have to say no to in order to say yes to the right things, to the things God is calling us to do, trusting that God will provide others to do the work that we might be saying no to. This is so hard, so hard. This text this week has really hit me in the gut because it is so easy for me just to show up at my office on Monday morning and sit down and do emails for 3 hours and then go into a meeting and I could spend all of my ministry doing that. And I know that's true for you in whatever your ministry and whatever your work and responsibilities are. But that kind of prayer and discernment gives us an opportunity to listen for God's intention and what we need our priorities to be. And we'll never know if we don't take that time. And Jesus gives us permission to say no to some things in order to say yes to others. We can't meet all the needs in our lives. We can't meet all the needs of the world. What is it God wants us to do? I'm deeply grateful for this invitation in this text, and it's for each and every one of us to find ways and patterns in our own lives where we can withdraw and commune with God. And I want to share some exciting news with you about an opportunity I have coming up to do just that. Now, I'm going to work to incorporate this into my daily life, but I'm grateful to the United Methodist Church and to the Staff Parish Committee of this congregation that has granted me a 12-week renewal leave this fall. I'll have an opportunity to step back, to rest, to pray, to listen to God. For my own sake, to help figure out how I need to prioritize my ministry among you. What needs to come first for me as I work alongside of you? But also to be listening for where God is leading us as a congregation. And I'm not the only one who should be listening and praying about that. I want to invite all of us to be listening and discerning together. Because here's the thing, y'all. I think God is up to something at West End United Methodist Church. We have come through this season over the past few years of ups and downs and big shifts and change. We've come through a global pandemic. We have all that's going on in our denomination. We had a flood in the building. We've had the good experience of celebrating our 150th year, and now we're turning toward the future. And I think God has something big in store for us. But we won't know what that is unless we take the time to pray and discern and listen. At our leadership retreat on Sunday, I invited a gentleman from the Wesley Development Corporation. They work out of the North Carolina Conference of the United Methodist Church, but they work with a lot of churches of United Methodists and all sorts of denominations to come alongside congregations and discern, how do we use our building? How do we use the land that we have? What are the needs in our community? And what is some way that we can move forward in ministry to make a big impact in our city? We cannot do it all, my friends. We can't meet all the needs, but I think God is nudging us towards something together. So will you join me and our leaders together as a congregation in a season of prayer and discernment? There is much need in our world, and we have unique gifts and resources and love to follow God into living that dream. Let us follow Jesus. Let's allow him to be our role model and not the 7 days a week, 24/7, always on call spirit that's out there. If we can be people of prayer, I can't even begin to imagine what God can do with us. Amen.
I invite you to rise in body and spirit as we affirm our faith together in the affirmation of faith found in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. If you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks that you can fill out and place in the offering plate as it comes around. I ask you too to please take note of the prayer requests that are listed in your bulletin and keep these names and situations in your heart throughout the week. praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. On this day especially, we are prayerful and mindful of those who mourn with our church family and offer comfort as we ask the Lord for peace in the lives of the family of Karen Weeks, who recently died, and also for Leon Rader and his family following the death of his wife, Jewel McGee Rader, who died on Tuesday, January 30th. Her services are pending. We have roses on the table to celebrate the birth of Matthew Lee Barnes on January 8th to Elizabeth Rust Barnes and Jamie Barnes in Grantsville, Utah. He's welcomed also by big brothers Thomas and Grady. Barnes' grandmother is Jocelyn Rust, and his uncle is Ethan Rust. We also have a rose on the table to celebrate the birth of Constance Grace Dedeker on January 25th to Connie and Nick Dedeker. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of rest, thank you for the invitation to come away with you and pray. In the chaos and the busyness of this world, we are grateful that you encourage and give permission to us to be still and to know that you are God. Speak your peace over us even now in the stillness of this moment. When the world feels too much to bear, grant us your peace. For the sick and the weary, grant us your peace. For the lonely and afraid, grant us your peace. For the anxious and the overworked, grant us your peace. In times of joy and abundance, grant us your peace. In a new life and hope, grant us your peace. Breathe into us and over us and all around us the words of Julian, that all shall be well, all shall be well, all shall be well. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you who are joining us online are invited to give via the options that are listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we'll pass the offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who's been so generous with us. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, loving God, creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all of the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
You may be seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, who walked among us and showed us the way of life. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He communed with you in deserted places, took time away from the busyness of ministry to rest, to be renewed, to remember who you called him to be, and to renew his purposes for your mission. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread, then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Your Holy Spirit on all who are gathered in this hour and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Would you join me in the words that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
My friends, this is the body of Christ, broken and given in love to you and to me and to all the world, that the life of Christ might live in us. And this is the blood of Christ, the cup of grace poured out for you and for me and for all, that we might know peace. The table is set. Our host has invited each and every one of us. This is not the table of West End United Methodist Church or of the United Methodist Church. It is Christ's table, and all who are here and all who are not here are welcome at this table. If this is your first time receiving communion in this particular congregation, offer just a few words of instruction to help you along the way. We will be invited to come to the altar rails and kneel to receive. The friends in the choir will go first, followed by those in the balcony and transepts, and then the rest of us in the center. Feel free to make your way forward and fill in any spot that is open. If you'll have your hands open, that helps our servers to know you have yet to receive. After receiving the elements, you're welcome to stay and pray and rest in God's presence as long as you need to do so. All of our elements are gluten-free. If you're unable to come forward or you don't feel comfortable coming forward, I'll be making my way around the sanctuary with communion elements that many of which are also gluten-free. I'm just making sure, yes, these are the gluten-free ones. So you don't need to worry about that as well. Every time we come forward for communion in our congregation, we have an opportunity to make a second mile gift to one of the mercy ministries of our congregation. And in this February communion offering will go to support the 30-hour famine, which is a ministry in which our youth are leading us. Our youth will go without food for 30 hours on March 1st and 2nd to experience hunger and to raise awareness and money for two ministries this year. Our local ministry is the Villages at Glencliff, to continue their ongoing work with housing our neighbors who need medical respite. And the second ministry is World Vision, to help bring food and clean water to children around the world. So our youth and all of us appreciate your generosity in those gifts. Let us open our hearts, hear the invitation to come away and rest in God's love for a little while. Let us come to the table. Will you rise in body or spirit and join with me in giving thanks for the grace we have just received? You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. My friends, we have a story to tell. We have such good news to proclaim in the world. May we be people of prayer who watch, wait, and listen for the Spirit's guidance. And then may we be people of action to go forth from this place to love. Amen.